Morning, brothers and sisters. We're going to start our meeting. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We come and we gather together. We come here to worship you, and we come here to listen to your words. Oh Lord, we need your words in this age. We are young. We are small in front of you. So let us have a heart of learning. We want to learn from you, and we want to hear from you. Lord, please open our hearts and let us to know what you're going to talk to us. And open our ear and let us know, Lord, we are here, we are ready to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So some brothers and sisters might know I'm sharing a series of information about the young people in the Bible. So last time we shared about King Solomon, and this time we're going to share about his father, David. So we've got some questions you might ask, probably you asked yourself before. So I can continue. So some questions you might ask yourself, or you ask your parents. I did ask myself when I believed. So I asked myself these kind of questions. So, God, do you really exist? But if you exist, and why I can't hear you, or I can feel you? Only you talk to those people who are elders, and then you don't talk to me. So in the beginning, I was very curious about this. Are you really talking to us? But when I was young, and then I asked him and said, oh, if you're really talking, just talk to me. Otherwise I can feel you. I don't know if you really exist or not. But surely we know our Lord is living, and he would like to talk to everyone who want to come to him. No matter what countries, so we can see in different countries they are believers, and what the skin colors, and then you're poor or rich, or you're young or old. So I remember when some kids brought to Jesus, and they're very young and little kids, and then they wanted Jesus to pray for them. But the disciples say, no, you can't come because they're kids. Our Jesus is too busy. He can't do this for these kids. But what did Jesus say? He said, come. Let them come here. Because in the heaven, we need these people like the chosen. So, he liked young people. So our Lord treasure young people. Like I said, like the Bible said, it's like an apple in his eye. So, when I pray, what kind of message we can give to our young people? So, and then, really, Lord, just one day, and then say, why you don't share some young people in the Bible? Because I find a lot of young people in the Bible records, and I think our Lord put a lot of amazing purpose there. There are a lot of young people. So last time we shared King Solomon, when he's young, and then he think, how come he can rule over this whole nation people? Because he think he's not wise enough to rule over this country. So when Lord asked him, what do you like? You can ask whatever you like. So last time I challenged you and said, if Lord asks you this question, what are you going to ask for? Some people will ask, oh, I want to be rich, give me a lot of money. And some people say, I want a long life. But King Solomon, he knows himself. He knows he's young. So he said, I want a wisdom. I want a wisdom from you. And then let me know how to govern these people. How to how to be a good king in front of Lord. So he recalls a lot of young people in the Bible, and they ask no. I remember, I was thinking he would ask no, we are not alone. So when I was young, I was thinking, oh, I'm a believer. In my, around me, all around me, the young people, most of them, they are no believers. So I'm thinking I'm quite alone. And I don't have someone to talk or someone to have like fellowship with them. But today, after that, you know, you got some partners. And then you got some friends in the Bible. They record and they ask, no, we are not alone. And you can ask help from them. Although they are very, very old, maybe 22,000 years ago or 30,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. But the story they feel God, the story that what they're doing, they please God. We didn't ask know what kind of young people God like and what kind of young people he, what are you doing he going to praise. And then we can only learn from them, their lesson, their failure, their success. And we can know for our challenge today. So I have to emphasize again is I'm focused on young people. I know some parents here. But I think it's still very important for us as well. I'm a parent as well. But I think I'm still young, actually, I think. But I said it's not only for young people, no matter which age. But I think it's for every one of us here. We can learn something from this. So we're gonna talk about the David. Probably many of us know the story about David. So this time we'll have some verses today in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this time David, he was very young. Bible didn't mention how old he is, but I think he is very young, probably like a teenager, maybe like 17 years old. And we're going to focus on the verse 1 to 13, these chapters. So I got someone, if anyone can read for me, Jessica, is it alright? Can read for me?
The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the best
of
the mind. For I provided for myself a king among his sons.
Yeah, thank you, Jessica. So there's a background in front of this. So if you read the chapter before, and then you were there, you know. So when Saul, the king Saul, he didn't listen to Lord, and then he disobeyed Lord, and Lord just rejected him. And as the king of the Israel. And so Samuel was very sad. And he was, I think he was very sad because this is the first king in the history of Israel. But he failed. And so Samuel is very, very sad. But Lord one day gave him word, said, go somewhere and anoint a new king. So this is very, very dangerous mission for Samuel. So he was alert and he said, how come I go there? Because it's a new king. And then that's not from Saul's family. So he said, if Saul hear this voice, this news, and he's going to kill me. Because that's a new king and it's not from Saul's family. And then Saul was thinking Samuel betrayed him and he's going to kill Samuel. And then the new king will be in trouble as well. Because how come there's a new king not coming from his family? So the new king should come from Saul's family. So God gave Samuel a very dangerous mission and said, go to Bethlehem and anoint a new king. And Samuel showed his concern to Lord and said, how can I get there? How can I go? If so, he will kill me. So Lord gave him a good idea. He said, take your heifer with you and said, I'm come to sacrifice to your Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do then. And you shall anoint for me him who I declared to you. So actually it's very, very good arrangement, good plan. And the Lord said, you can come there. You have a good formal excuse is, come there and you say, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. And then you can invite Jesus and his family come. And then one of his sons will be the next of the king of Israel. And then you can anoint him. So this is very dangerous trip, but the Lord gave him a very excuse and he can come there for sacrifice and then he can anoint his king. But he has to do this in secret because Saul still will kill him if he knows this. So he, in public, he had to go there as the reason is, I'm going to sacrifice. But in secret, he had to do something is to anoint this king, a new king. So when Samuel go to the Bethlehem, and he invite Jesse's family to the sacrifice. So let's imagine, if you are Jesse, and then Samuel come to you and they say, come and then enjoy with me the sacrifice meal. And then he said, probably very secretly he talked to him and said, well, I come here for the other very important mission. One of your sons will be the king in Israel. And what do you think? What's his feeling? If you are Jesse, one of your sons will be the king of Israel. And then I think he will be very surprised. And he might be very excited after. And he might be very happy. Because one of my sons will be the king in future. One of my sons will be the king in Israel. And my family will be the king's family in future. And then I think Jesse will ask him next questions. Oh, I got so many sons. So which one will be the next one? Which one will be the king in future? I think the same question for Samuel as well. You're going to ask, which son will be the king in future? What this king look like? Which the young man will be the king in future? And I think in Samuel's mind, he might have some expectation. So here, when Samuel, so this is the first, they didn't say anything about it. This is the verse 6. And then he said, Eli, come to in front of Samuel. And then he just starting his work. He's starting to look at this young man. And then Samuel has an impression and said, surely the Lord's anoint is before him. So when he look at Elijah, and then he think, this man is, I think he surely will be the king of Israel. Why? Who is Elijah? So when you see the other chapter, I put there already. So he'll be the big brother. So he's the firstborn of Jesse. And he's a soldier as well. Because in the chapter 17, and he said, he followed King Saul to the battle. And the next sentence of like I think verse 7, and it says he's very tall, he's very strong, because he's a soldier. So he's very tall, he's very strong. And I put there is very attractive outward appearance. So he's very handsome, very strong man. And then it's like very, give you kind of like a power and then like a sense of security. So yeah, in Samuel, and then he's thinking, oh, this man is quite impressive and is quite good. And then he think, this one should be the first king. He should be the king. So I think his hand is ready to anoint him. So I want to share a small story about my first driving test. So I know most of you had a driving test before. So when I had a driving test a couple of years ago, my first time. So when I was sitting in the car, and then the assessor sitting next to me, and then he got a clipboard, and then there's a paper on the top, right? And then when you're driving, he said, okay, you're starting, and then we're driving, and then actually some will talk, but some didn't. So they're doing is tick, 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 right? Just keep ticking and then doing something there, paperwork. So we call that criteria. So they're gonna take the things and then what something you have done or something you've done, and they're gonna take across. So I think in Samuel's mind, and he has a criteria of this, who can be the king in future. So he tick, tick, tick. So in his mind, I think Eliab will be, he take all his brain is he all take the criteria is yes, he passed. So what can be on his criteria as a king? So we said he should be having, I'm not sure, I just put some tips, some there, but I think you have more. So this king, in, I think in Samuel's mind, or like in general people's mind, that might be, he might be very tall, strong, handsome, very, very, very charming. And then he should be, like a mature, so that means he can't be too young. If you're like a baby, or like a 3 years old, 4 years old, can be a king. So he'll be, should be a lot of, plenty of life experience. He know what to do, communicate with people and interact with people. And he will be very brave. He can lead his country to fight with others. And then he probably need a strong leadership, or he might need to know how to deal with this politics thing. And then probably he need to have a very strong, like a ministry support, and then he can rule this country. So this is the like a, I said, like a common sense, in this world about a king. And then if you want to rule someone, and you have to like getting like this. So I think Eliab standing in front of Samuel, and he's thinking, wow, this man can be this kind of person. And this man can be the king and rule over Israel. But that's a bigger assessor. When Samuel took yes, and he said, oh, Eliab passed. But the Lord said, no, Samuel, you're wrong. So he put a big cross on Samuel's criteria and said, no, that's not my criteria. Let's know my standards to choose a king. So Samuel, Lord talked to Samuel. Does anyone can read this for me? Tim?
The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart.
Yeah, Lord reminds Samuel and said, I'm seeing differently from you. And then I'm thinking different from you. So you're just thinking about his appearance. But what I'm thinking is about his heart. So there's a different directions. So one man was always thinking about his outward appearance, how tall he it is, how strong he is, and then what kind of leadership he will deliver, and then what blah blah blah, a lot of things. But the Lord says, I'm looking at, not only looking at outward appearance, but I'm looking at inside. So this is the question is, what Lord he wants? What Lord he requests for today? He not just only sacrifice with our outward appearance. What does this mean? It's like when you stand here, or when you do some religion practice, that's probably not enough. He probably not completely happy with this. He will come here. And you born here, you all physically here, but if your heart not here, I think he still not happy with that. He's still thinking, your heart. What do you mean your heart? It's you need to put yourself in him. So this is a question is, what's your involved situation in front of him? So like we always said, are you right in front of him or are you wrong in front of him? What's this involved situation? Nowadays we quite pay attention to environment. So we pay attention to this outside environment. We're going to try to save us pregnant. There's a new policy in New South Wales, so we're not allowed to use the plastic products, probably this plastic bag first, and then I think end of the year will be like plastic forks and then some others. We try to save our environment. But what about you inside environment? It's a clean? Is it polluted? Do you need to save your environment inside? This is very interesting, or I tried before, because I read a book and then I tried before. Someone said, so it's very easy to test you involved in situation. I did before. So he said, have a day. And then probably it's night time or early morning. And then you shut down everything, your computer, your book. So no one is around you, or you have a private room. And you're sitting there. And then you just think about your life. And then that's very easy to get inside, because you don't have any disturbance around. So you are thinking about yourself. Am I right? Or I'm a Christian, but am I practicing as a Christian? What about my inside situation? Is it right? So when you ask these questions, you might know inside is, so when I do that, I'm thinking, oh, it's very weak inside. So my inside life is very weak, and I'm very tired. Like you have the feeling like that. And then you can get some reflection about this inward situation. And then when you feel weak, when you're feeling sick, I think it's the time you need to go back to Lord. Go back to Lord. And then let him have. So we come back here. So Samuel said, he looked outside and then he's thinking Eli is a very perfect candidate for the king. But Lord said, no, he's not the one. And we talk about the God look inside our hearts. And we have an example about Saul. So when you read previous chapters, you will see Saul's example. So Lord's command is kill the Amalekites, everything, but destroy them. But Saul's later, he finished the war and he come and said, yeah, I definitely finished, I definitely complete the command, but he spared a piece of shit and I'll send to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And Samuel challenged him, said, you didn't listen to the Lord. And he said, yes, I did. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I have gone on the mission which Lord sent me. So I brought the king, and then I devote, then I kill the people. But, the people like the best of the sheep, or the oxen, and they want to keep it. And they have a good reason is, oh, we keep these good things to worship God, to sacrifice Him to your Lord. You can see Lord's command is very clear. So destroy everything. But King Saul, he did 90%. But 10%, he had a 10% discount. He want to leave this best shape for Lord. But he insists. He finished his mission and then he finished the command of the God. So, one, Lord's command is 100%, but he finished 90%. And he said, I finished it. So, in his heart, he's still thinking, I'm doing the right thing. Only 10% I didn't do it, but I got a good reason. Because I want to give the best things to you. What are you thinking? Why are you blaming me? Because I have the other ideas. But in God's mind is, will you listen to me, or you listen to half, or 80%, or 90% only? If you think, if you only listen 90%, it doesn't mean you listen. So that's Saul's story. He failed because he didn't really want to listen. So when I was a father, I definitely understand the obedience. Because it's very hard to train a kid to like 100% obedience. Because every time you argue with me, oh, can I do this? And maybe I do this, but I have a condition like this. I said, no, you can't. Because you have to listen. That's the rule. That's the command. So just do this and don't argue. But sometimes we're going to argue, oh, can I do this? Can I do that? Or can I do 80% and then 20%? I live there. I do it by myself. So Samuel talked to Saul and he said, it's a great, the Lord has, like, he wanted, so has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than a fat offering. So to listen, to obey, is very important. So we come back to the principle of the Lord. He says, I'm looking at your heart. So he's looking for hearts willing to obey him. I know obey is very hard. Sometimes it's a big challenge. Because in this world, if you obey the words of Lord, and you have to give up something. Probably you have to give up your time. Because someone said, do this, it's a shortcut. But in Lord's words, they said, no, you can't do this. But you have to spend more time to do the other thing, probably double time to finish it. And someone say, it's fine, just change something, and then you will get through that. But for us, no, we can't do this. So we have to do, put more effort on it and then to finish. So sometimes, if you want to obey, you need to pay the price. It's sometimes not easy. So we can see King Saul, he anoints as a king and he be a king straight away. In the Bible it will say straight away. But when you see David, later I'm going to talk, he anoints today by Samuel, but do you know how long he waiting to be a king? To really sitting there as a king? More than 13 years. So God trained him as a king 13 years. If I were David, I'm anointed king, and I'm going to shortcut, what are you going to do? Very easy. I'm thinking, in my mind, one thinking a plan for him. Because he served the soul. He served soul. So very easy. Every day he have a very close to soul. He can walk with soul. Everything. He can do it with him. So just get a knife and then run him. Easy. And you make him next time, next minute. But he didn't do that. Even he gave it a lot of chance to kill him, kill the king's soul. But he didn't do that. So that's mean, take 13 seconds, he can be a king, or he's taking 13 years to be a king. So he want to be, he want to obey God. He want to be the, in his plan. So he waiting, waiting and waiting. And he didn't get disappointed. Because sometimes I think, if you want, someone says, you'll be a king in future, and please wait in 13 years. And he said, are you sure? Are you really kidding me? Am I be the king? Because 13 years. But David, you know, he waiting. He waiting for God's plan. He obeyed God's plan. So this is quite different from Saul. And so we're getting Samuel seeing Eliah, and he's going to say, see the second brother, and then he's seeing the third son. And everyone is sought. And then Lord said, no. So everyone passed. So not one of them. And so Samuel was surprised. And I think he said, what? Lord, send me here to anoint a king among your sons. But the Lord said, these seven, not one of them. So what happened? So this very interesting situation is Samuel get there and then said, oh, are all your sons here? And Jesse said, oh, there's one more. So he forgot the youngest one. And then he said, oh, he's keeping the sheep. So when I read here, every time, I was feeling sad. I said, what I'm feeling sad about David. This is very, you have a very, big family occasion, because when Samuel invited them to sacrifice, that's honor. So everyone can come. Everyone should come. Whole family should come. Because Samuel invited whole family to come. And Jesse called every son to come, except him. And I think, oh, I'm sorry about David, because look like he's not that important in his family. And then he's still working, because he was forgotten. I was like, David is like, yeah. So David, his father Jesse forgot him, and then treat him as like an important member in this family. And I think the other thing is, when Samuel talked to him, oh, you will have a son to be a king in future. And then I think in Jesse's mind is, might be this. I think, but David was ticked off and he said, no, definitely he wouldn't be the candidate in, for the king. So he didn't take him in and he didn't say, oh yeah, he can still be inside, it's fine, because he's too young. And you can see David in his family, he didn't receive good treatment. So from his father didn't give him good treatment, and his brother as well. So when you see chapter 17, and when he come to battlefield and he fight with Goliath, and this Eliah is like very angry with him, and then it's not good to him. So I think he didn't receive good treatment in his family as well. So, as a young people, and when you didn't receive a good treatment in the family, or around, surrounding you, what are you going to be? So, many young people, when they didn't receive a good treatment from others, they might get bad person, because they think, oh, that's, I'm, because of, not because of me, but because of the environment. Because of people, I didn't receive love from my family, from my brothers. So how can I be a good person in future? But can you see David? This young man is very, 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 very precious person. He didn't get him bad, but he getting better. So we can see one thing is, when he didn't get a good treatment in family, but one point I can see is he fulfilled his duty. Her father said, keep sheeping, keep keeping the sheep, and you have to do yourself outside. And he keep doing this job. He focused on his job. He's doing it loyally. He didn't, I can see in the Bible, he didn't complain. He didn't say, that's unfair. Why I'm the youngest, I should be spoiled. I should be received a good treatment in family. Well, it's different from Joseph. Oh, next time probably we'll talk about Joseph. He's the spoiled one. David was the opposite. He's like a forgotten one. So, fulfill his duty loyally. He's still doing his job. He didn't give up on himself. And the other very important thing is, he feared Lord, and relied on him. So when, in chapter 17, when David going to fight with Goliath, and then he shared his story, keeping the sheep, and he said, sometimes when a lion or bear come in, and he fight with him, and he won a battle. So, he know God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. Can you imagine, you have a young kid, and then you put him into like a wilderness, and then there's a lion and a bear. It's very dangerous. But Jesse doesn't care. His father doesn't care. Or he can send more sons to help him. But he doesn't care. But David, although his brothers or his father didn't help him, but he knows God with him. So he relied on God and he experienced God in his field. So it's very, very important for him. He had a practice there. He relied on God. He knows he can fight with lion and fight with bears. It's because of God, given his power to fight with him. So, this is today's verse. I want to encourage one of us. Let us read together. Let no one despise for you good things. Set the leaders an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. So there's always some stigma about young people. So young people too young, and they don't know anything. Or they're immaturity and impulsive. They're troublemakers. They're headache. Or they are people disobey. But I want to bring us back is there's some good young people. They are doing good, and they don't think they are young. So they look down on themselves. Even they look down on by others, but they don't despise themselves. They think they're young, but they also can fear God. They think they're young, but God still loves them. They think they're young, but they can rely on God. Like David today we're talking about. He didn't receive good treatment. And I think he's very, in my mind, he's very bad childhood. But he didn't get a bad person. In contrast, he be a good person. He fear God. And when you see future, when he be a king, and he also good to his family, good to his family as well. He protect his family. He love his family. So in a church or in your home, do not let people despise you young. But you can do something good and show them the example. Always we'll say the elders will show us examples. But the Lord said, young people also can set an example for them. Even though probably your parents, they're not believers, or they don't want to go to church, or maybe your brothers or sisters, but you can set an example for them. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Actually, it's a hard job. But relying on God, we can do that. And then it's not like we can do in one day. But you can grow up, you can grow, you can progress every day in these things. Speak something good to your family or to people around you. And do something, show them this is the right thing. Or give someone the love to them, or we show our faith, and then we show our pure life. It's different from this world. So this is the young people we're talking about today, about David. And then later, we know Samuel, the Lord said, yeah, this is the person, and Samuel anointing him. And then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. But like I shared, this is the beginning of David for 13 years waiting period for him to be a king in future. But he won't wait. And he won't obey God. So this is very, very, very good young people. We can learn some from him.